Maybe if I were.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a new big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
dig
stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you. Connor, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, Earl.
All right. How was the weekend?
It was all right. It was all right. I'm just a lot of work I've been doing.
You know, when you're 20 years old and the weekends are just all right,
I'm a busy 20-year-old.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Now, all of a sudden, the ghost of Sandy has come back. Didn't hear him. You try it again, Sandy.
I'm talking, Richard.
Okay, so I thought this problem was done.
Okay,
all right, so what about now?
There it is.
Okay.
There, we're finally all right. There, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm all right.
How was the weekend?
Well, my weekend was filled with hot summery activities.
You know, Sandy, I was down at the lakefront with the water and air show, and it never gets old.
Well, I saw lots of people in tents and automobiles. The whole lakefront was filled with people, I guess, there to watch stuff coming on the water.
Yeah, so I don't know. We're hearing an echo. And why we work to get that done. If you've never been to the air and water show on the lake in Milwaukee, you know, it's certainly not what they have in Oshkosh. With the big fly-in, it's not equal to that, but it is really a wonderful event, and to be able to get to see some of the planes that we have, Sandy, can you hear me better now?
I can hear you better.
All right,
but
go ahead. It's still happening.
But I think the echo remains. I will call.
Well, we're still working with it, but the technician is working with it. He'll have it figured out. But Sandy, if you, in the meantime, if you want to call in, that'll be fine too.
Yep.
But I'll tell you something. If you haven't gotten a chance to be down at the lakefront and witness, you know, what really is just a spectacular display. I don't know what that plane is, but it's got to be. I think it has to be the what is the plane that we have that disappears? You don't even know what it is. Do you know, Evan? I mean, Connor.
No,
they've got a plane. Sandy's on the phone.
Yeah, I see him.
Yeah, so there's a plane that we have that is, and I don't know, it's probably about 20 years old now, but it's certainly, Sandy, are you there?
I am.
All right, good. We'll get it worked out before the break. But what is the name of the plane that we have that's supersonic and you can't see it? It's probably
stealth.
Yes, stealth. The stealth.
Yeah.
And it just the sound of it. You ever hear it?
Well, I don't know. I don't think I have. I've read about them. I haven't seen
them.
Yeah,
well,
they have stealth bombers and they have stealth fighters.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a sonic boom, and and you hear these planes flying, and this is a sonic boom, and you're hearing it, and you don't see the plane until after the boom, and then you're looking around for it, and then it appears out of nowhere. Technology is unbelievable, Sandy. You think about war.
Well,
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to rain on your parade, Earl, but we've been talking negatively about almost $800 billion that the country spends on defense. And here they are sending these air shows all around to all different cities in the country, I guess to market the notion of our military in some respects. And it must cost a lot of money to fly these planes and do these air shows and excite the public to talk about it on the radio just like we're doing right now.
Come on, man.
I'm just raining on your parade a little bit because all these flyovers at the NFL games and all these air shows, while they're exciting, are a demonstration of just how actively our defense establishment, I think, likes to whip up interest.
You know, Sandy, I can't dispute one word you are saying. I mean, you know, I'm one who talks about it all the time, along with you. But these cargo planes that they had flying low, the sheer size of this thing that, I mean, what we have is amazing. My issue is that we don't need to keep buying these things. We've got more than enough. But just seeing those things and watching.
Well, I think those cargo planes are actually what the Air National Guard here in Milwaukee is responsible for. Those, whatever the C, it's a
C-130 or
cargo.
Yeah.
They're huge planes, and I think they fly out of Mitchell Field.
Yeah. So clearly, you've seen them a few times.
Yeah, they have both refueling C cargo planes as well as the ones that just carry cargo and men.
Yeah. They had the refueling plane, and I'm just watching in amazement like the other people who are there. And I'll tell you this, Sandy, about Milwaukee, and we get a lot of negative publicity. But during the summer, Milwaukee is pretty jam-packed to bring tourists here to see all the different things that Milwaukee has to offer. And people from across the state spend a lot of time in downtown Milwaukee soaking up what you and I know is a treasure.
Yeah, Milwaukee's a hidden jewel, and maybe it's going to be less hidden as time goes on. If the Democratic Convention had actually been pulled off here, and now the Republican Convention, I think Milwaukee's getting more and more exposure to the Milwaukee Bucks. To the extent it's been a hidden jewel, hopefully it's going to shine more brightly in the sun.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, very well said. During the summer, just all the different activities. I mean, you know, people. All over. They weren't just on the lakefront. I mean, they were everywhere, all up by the water tower and everywhere else. There's just nowhere to go from the standpoint that people are just locked in there. And it's just wonderful, man, to be able to go down in just beautiful weather. Perfect day. So I really did. I enjoyed it. There were other activities and events all over the city. And you know, even when you hear all the negative things about our city, Sandy, it's safe in the areas where people are. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I mean, I think the city is generally a safe city. I mean, I think there's a unfortunate lack of police attention and potential problems associated with some portions of the city. But I think, if you take the whole broad city geographically, it's a very safe place. You know who don't like the air shows very much, though?
Dogs, animals.
Dogs.
Yeah,
I guess. My dog does not like the air show very much at all. He looks up at me in horror. And then hides.
Well, he doesn't love the fireworks anymore, does he?
You know, for some reason, who knows? Dogs are variable. My dog doesn't dislike fireworks anywhere near as much as he dislikes the air show.
Well, you know, Sandy, again, the air show and the water show, they don't get old. Okay, have you ever been to the air show in Oshkosh?
Well, I have a story about that, actually. I was I used to do a lot of business in Green Bay. I was driving back from Green Bay middle of the week. I noticed that the air show is going on. I stop. I go to it. It's fantastic. It's like a time warp. You're going back to Kansas in the 30s, and it's like a fly-in, one of these fly-in things. I have a fantastic time. My kids were all small. I had four sons. They were all in grade school. Right. I decided I'm going to take them on Sunday to the air show. It's going to be fantastic. I pack them in the car, drive all the way up to Oshkosh, and the airport is empty because the air show ended on Saturday. And all these thousands of airplanes evacuated. You know, they were gone. I mean, it must have taken 3 hours, but they were all gone. It was empty. I think my kids thought I was, like, telling them a story.
You know, Sandy, I've never been. I've always wanted to go. But I don't want to deal with the crowds. You know what I mean? There are crowds, people from all over the world are there, I guess, from what I've read about it. And
well, I would advocate it. It was in a remarkable. I still have clear memories of it. It really was like a time warp. You know, I knew about it. I never went to, but there used to be these shows that would fly around the Midwest, and I always think of them and being in Kansas where Beechcraft was, and you know, the air acrobatic planes, the guys standing on wings flying over, all of that stuff happens in Oshkosh.
All right, we got to go to break, Sandy. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
But we will play the entire of the J6 hearing. We're playing it live. We're going to play it live right here on this radio network. And Dom, you would think maybe we could start there. But the farmer's still breaking laws and trying to overturn the last election to this very frickin' day. Which brings us to perhaps the subway.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the monkeypox, man, you know, this began as a kind of a, you know, people would joke, like, you know, monkeypox is... And we heard early on that this was much ado about nothing. It's not that anymore, Sandy.
Well, they're talking about it as an international potential pandemic. You know, the definition of a pandemic is something that spreads across all the continents, and I guess it is accomplishing that. I'm not sure it's reaching the epidemic stage because the numbers of people who've contracted monkeypox is still... it's just in the several tens of thousands across the world. But it does appear to be a disease that is, one, quite transmissible with at least certain kinds of contact. And so, you know, some of these other diseases that snuck up on us since pandemics, it seems reminiscent of that, you know, the way AIDS and some of the other things were small news for a while until people realized that this disease was going to spread internationally.
Well, the World Health Organization is calling it a global emergency. And so when you get to a point where the World Health Organization starts pointing the finger at it, it becomes, we should take it a little more seriously, I guess.
Yes, and apparently vaccine for it works. I don't know if it's the smallpox vaccine exactly that works for it, but there are vaccines that seem to work for it. I think smallpox is the vaccine, but since we retired the use of smallpox vaccine, there's a shortage of it. So right now, there is a known vaccine that will work for it. However, there's an extreme shortage of it. So I think... the world has some, I think what the WHO is doing is trying to get ahead of this one and trying to get the world wound up enough with interest so that they take prophylactic action.
You know, Sandy, it just, things just don't seem to be getting better from the standpoint that we're kind of hit with things from all angles at the same time. You know, I don't know, Sandy, if this is historically just the way it is, and maybe we're, because we're in this time frame now, that it seems like we've got all these things coming from all different directions. Am I making more out of all these different things simultaneously? I mean, there have been other times in history, I guess, when all these different things have come upon us. Am I making more about these things than I should?
Well, I don't know. I think there is something about the current state of the world and the developing. You know, as the world develops, it becomes much more interactive on a global basis. So, yes, diseases used to spread across the world, but they didn't do it at lightning speed. Now, with the amount of airline traffic and airline traffickers and the rate at which people move around the world, we've got the spread of disease that happens essentially overnight. We've got global warming, which appears to be the reality, and this rash of wildfires across the world with all huge portions of the world. Last year was Australia. Last year, essentially, the continent of Australia was itself almost on fire.
Right.
You know? And so and we've got California that burns annually now. I mean, things have become more acute. They get acute more rapidly, meaning they develop to a heightened stage more quickly, and I think also there might be more of them happening at once, just because we've got more different issues kind of happening at the same time. You know, here we have recession, we've got war, we've got global warming, we've got raging fires, we've got pandemics. That's a lot to have on the plate at any one time.
Yeah, and then you mix in all the political, you know, mishmash that we're dealing with, and so you've got to juggle all these different things, and you know, in your own life, and you just begin to wonder. We know these things will go away. We know things, if you live long enough, you know the challenges that life present to us. But as younger people, you know, you don't think too hard about these things. But as you know, as we get older, all of those things, you put them all in the same bag, and you start wondering, wow, man, you know, we've got to focus on all of these different things, and maybe that's the issue. Maybe we're spending too much time trying to focus on all of them. But all of them impact us, you know, I guess, Sandy, in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we say we focus on all of them, and I'm not sure how many of them, however, we do anything about.
well, that's, you know, correct. That's
one of the problems with, you know, politics in America is that we might be able to identify issues, but it's not clear that we take steps to deal with many or any of them.
So do you think the reason that we don't deal with them is because, you know, we just don't know how? Or you know, just the politics of all of these things are, you know, an impossible thing for us to get beyond.
Well, I think the problem is that we politicize many of them. And apparently in modern-day America, when we politicize something, we defactify it. I don't know if that's not a word. I made that up. But,
yeah.
You know, we kind of remove the factual element from the investigation. And the politicization of it makes it become conspiracy theories and all kinds of reactionary kinds of views about whatever it is that's happening that freezes us. You know, when we got into the COVID epidemic, that became politicized, and our reaction to it, vaccine, masking, all of that became the subject of political debate and social and cultural warfare almost. The same is true with global warming. We don't seem to be able to address that on a factual basis or agree to it about the facts. So we tend to just wave our arms in either belief or disbelief about whether it exists. Monkeypox is likely to have the same sort of reaction that COVID had. You know, the list goes on. So I think one of the problems in America is we've deviated and we've moved away from the scientific method into something that I'll call the political method, which doesn't seem to work.
You know, Sandy, that's really at the root of all of it. You know, for the most part, we've ignored science. And I don't know how a nation like ours gets to the point where we ignore science. I mean, we are who we are because we used to lead the world in science. And yet now we're at a point where people are not willing, the American people themselves, to even understand the impact of what science and scientific research is. Hang on, Sandy. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Whatever the parts are that are needed to make an automobile or to make just about anything, make it hard to find those things and have contributed mightily to inflation. You can read the Wall Street Journal, you can read the Financial Times, any of the more or less objective observers to the economic conditions in the world point not at Joe Biden or any governmental action so much as the confluence of things that have caused the supply chain fracture, which is, and part of that supply chain has been staffing. It's been staffing for trucks. And now, isn't it ironic, really, and sort of horrifying that what we've got is a massive staffing problem in our hospital and health system. Some of this staffing problem is clearly reflective of dislocations that relate to how much we pay people for doing the tasks they're doing in our economy. And I think what's clearly being exposed now is the extent to which people are asked to do heroic kinds of work in the healthcare industry, but we aren't paying them heroically. And they're being asked to take so much out of their life and out of their psyches to carry out this work that many of them have just decided they can't do it. And that has hit us at the time of the, and part of the cause of this was the COVID pandemic, when people's lives were so stressed, people who were working in the healthcare industry, their lives were so stressed, and they felt essentially that they couldn't be compensated adequately or weren't being compensated adequately, that they stepped back from their jobs, and now we have shortages. Same is true of pilots and airlines. You know, pilots were asked, the older ones were all kind of persuaded to resign so there wouldn't be an excess of pilots. Now we got a shortage.
You know, Sandy, when you talk about the pilots, the older guys were making all the money, most of the money, and that became an issue. But this says longstanding problems, worker burnout, and staff turnover have grown worse as COVID-19 wave have hit healthcare workers again and again and again. But this all goes back again, Sandy, to your Hoyle and the Hoyle that you have constantly talked about, and that's our government not planning. You know, you would.
I won't agree with that. I'll cut you short. It isn't. This isn't the government not planning. This is an economic system we have, which has thrived for too long on undercompensating the working cogs in our economy. So we have healthcare workers who've been undercompensated for quite a long time, and it didn't matter until we stressed them to the point where they began to evaluate their circumstance. And I would say that the pandemic was a time when much of the economy was put on pause. Many people were able to reflect on their lives. They're developed a lot of at-home work. They're developed a lot more leisure time for people to consider their circumstance and to realize the benefit of leisure time. And it has totally changed the willingness and the appetite of people to work under the conditions that they were working for the compensation that they were working. You look at the whole restaurant industry. Now, I mean, the restaurant industry, these various industries aren't subject to government planning. They were subject to private economic planning. And the economy was for too long based upon asking people to do too much work for too little.
So, Sandy, you...
Everyone, yeah.
No, so finish your point. Finish your point.
Well, I mean, for ever since 1980, everyone knows that white-collar workers have come to the point where they work more and more hours, take fewer and fewer days of vacation, and the work ethic in the white-collar workplace, it turned into an ethic in which people were being were persuading themselves that they had to work harder and harder and harder to keep up with their peers and to succeed what was defined as success within each workplace. And, you know, America became a place where fewer and fewer families took vacations, and the whole working scene in America became, and we sort of developed a pride about it. You know, this was America's work ethic, and we would compare it to France and laugh up our sleeves at the fact that the French families
don't take their vacations right
for the month of August.
So, Sandy, with the healthcare industry and what you're talking about, that's, these things could have been avoided because they're a for-profit system. And it's not like there weren't resources around to compensate those healthcare workers, right? I mean, the hospitals certainly spent a lot of money, as they do constantly. They keep up with the newest technology. I don't care where you go, Sandy. I don't know of one hospital, major hospital anywhere, that you don't walk in there and they don't have the top technology, or they're not constantly building something, right? I mean, there's resources there that they could have valued the healthcare workers.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are assets in the workplace. There are the physical capital assets, and there are the labor assets. And I think the business model in America for too many decades now has been premised on exploiting and underpaying the human assets while we busily stayed right at the top of the world in terms of the investment in physical assets and capital. But, for instance, the healthcare industry, you can go in the broad healthcare industry, you can go to nursing homes today, you can look at what was going on in the healthcare industry up until the COVID epidemic, and you can realize that vast numbers of people who work in the healthcare industry are receiving close to minimum wages, or at least the minimum that the general locale requires for work. So $15 an hour, that kind of range. And for too long, that was the kind of pay range that was being paid to healthcare workers, and it became not a very attractive place to try and train yourself to work and recruit. So that didn't matter so much until COVID came along, and all these healthcare workers who had been willing to work in that environment realized that environment was essentially killing them, and so many of them stepped back, created a shortage, and now the industry's having to catch up by rather rapidly engaging in wage gains. Many of them tried to stop or avoid the process of raising wages by offering bonuses. Bonuses is kind of like throwing some chum over the side of your boat to attract the fish. You know, they're not going to get it year in and year out, but they're going to get a bite at it. It'll attract them. And so then lots of industry tried to use the bonus arrangement to lure people in. They're still going to get the same wage, but this year they'd earn a big bunch by getting an upfront bonus. That really hasn't worked very well. You know, credit to the workers, they've been pretty savvy about it. And so wages will have to rise to solve for the worker shortages.
But in
healthcare, there is a lag because it takes training to be a healthcare worker. So you can't just create nurses overnight.
Sandy, we're here now, right? I mean, all of those things that you talked about are absolutely true. Had the COVID situation not occurred, we wouldn't be talking about this now. And I've been talking about this over the last week or two about the fact that when you go in a nursing home, I was in one just this past week, I don't care how opulent it is, they don't have enough workers to get the people up out of bed and even and move them around. And so you and right now COVID is not rearing its ugly. It's starting to, but it's the fallout from it we haven't seen yet. So we are really going to be faced with some things. It doesn't matter how many more of these homes that they build, Sandy. They're going to keep building them because you and I are at the point where, you know, we are going to be needing those facilities. But with all of those things happening, if they don't get this their act together soon, Sandy, they're going to be deluged with people.
Well, the business model in the United States is going to have to change, and it's going to have to change by each of these businesses recognizing the importance of their human capital and their laborers. And you can go to nursing homes today, and not only are they understaffed, but most of the staff is very apparently undertrained.
Right.
And the reason they're undertrained is because they're undervalued and underpaid coming in the door. So it's hard to ask somebody to undergo a lot of training so they can work for $14 an hour.
True.
So you know, we need to get our industry needs to open up its eyes, and it's going to be particularly important, I think, in the nursing home business, where there isn't the same sort of strain, but it's developing quickly.
You know, we've got to go to a break. You guys hang on the phone lines. We'll come back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
For God's sake,
you got to give more power to the people.
For God's sake,
why don't you give more power to the people?
For God's sake,
you got to have it, more power.
For God's sake,
you got to have it.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Before we go to the phone line, Sandy, I wanted to. This is in Politico this morning. Hospitals are coping as the most transmissible variant to date sweeps the country by making compromises. They're shifting staff between departments, handling longer emergency room waits, and even eliminating routine COVID testing. They're seeking a new balance, recognizing that they cannot sustain the state of vigilance forever that marked the first 2 years of the pandemic. We had to ramp up during surges and then try and figure out, do we keep people or do we let them go when they're not surging, said Juliet Hirschborn, director of molecule pathology at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. The surges tend to be just far enough apart to not know what to do. It's hard. It's a new normal. But you know, Sandy, you talked about the business model has to change in this country. So who makes the decision? And, you know, is there some overseer, some oversight, or each individual business will come to the realization themselves through pain that they have to change the model?
It's the latter, Earl. It's each business realizes through trial and error and through the force of the business of the marketplace that they have to make modifications, and I think they are making modifications. The problem with the healthcare industry is that, like I said, you can't train nurses, you can't train technicians,
right.
You can't train doctors overnight. So, you know, they're left with the legacy of the problems that were created by an industry that was probably undercompensating its people, and therefore not encouraging enough to sign up for the years of training that's required to become a nurse, to become a nurse's assistant, become physician's assistant, all of these roles that currently they need more of. And there is a shortage within each hospital system. And nurses and trained people are being asked to work longer hours.
Right.
Yes, they're being compensated more, but there's a limit to what people can do with respect to damaging their lives through excessive work. So the toll that is being asked of the people in the healthcare industry has until recently been too much for them when they realized it and looked it square in the face during the pandemic. And apparently that same kind of reaction has happened in many workplaces across the country. Truck drivers have realized, I think, that the toll on their lives from the nature of truck driving was not adequately compensated. And many, many of them retired and have created some of the problems in our ports, because some of those boats are lined up at the ports because there aren't enough trucks
right.
available to unload them.
Let's go to the phone line. CJ, what's going on, man? You say what?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. I'm going to cover the topics you discussed this morning. Don't you find it funny when a Republican's in the Oval Office, it's always their fault, but when a Democrat's in the Oval Office, it's always somebody else's fault and everybody else's fault? I listened to the excuses that Sandy gives about the president, the gas prices, record high prices. Remember, he said there's nothing really he could do about it, and now he's taking credit for stealing from our national oil reserves and claiming the prices are coming down. And then the health care. Nurses forcing them to leave because they didn't want to be vaccinated. And we saw thousands of them leave. I've been vaccinated twice. The president was vaccinated twice and boosted twice. He still got it. I got it again this weekend. So the claim that, you know, the boosters and vaccinations cure it or they maybe reduce the symptoms. But the fact that President Biden said Trump deserved to be, it was treasonous for him to lose 200,000. You know how many have died underneath Joe Biden since he's taken office? Over 600,000. So the hypocrisy of the media, the hypocrisy of, you know, even talk show hosts, because looking at the facts, they don't want the facts. They want to blame everybody else. And
CJ, what did Donald Trump do when he first heard about COVID? What was his response?
Remember, he got by Joe Biden when he shut down
What was his first response?
Shut that down. You asked the question, Earl. He shut down travel from China. What did Joe Biden call him? What did Joe Biden say?
Oh, hold on, CJ. Sandy, you want to? Is Sandy still with us?
COVID. I am.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I don't think anybody would question the notion that Trump's first reactions to COVID for the first 4 or 5 months of it underplayed it, minimized it, and caused the country to lag in its response to it. So, you know, you can point it at terminating the traffic from China as a big step, but everything else he did contemporaneous with that minimized it, including things he was saying at the very same time that he terminated the traffic coming from China with respect to it. But, you know, finger-pointing doesn't do a lot of good. CJ, you know, you're able to call us on the phone and talk to us. You apparently have a slight case of laryngitis. Clearly, your COVID the second time and maybe the first time as well involves very minimal kind of symptoms. And of course, that could well be because you were vaccinated twice, contrary to the kind of political movement on the conservative side that tried to vilify vaccination as some kind of conspiracy. So, you know, I think everybody's wrong about trying to point the finger at whatever the administration is for whatever it is that's happening. Some things can be laid at the feet of an administration. Some things can't. Things that administrations say and do and that have an impact on conduct definitely are things that can be talked about as being potentially laid at the feet of the administration. Things that happen in spite of the administration's efforts are probably not things that should be blamed on the administration. So I think we should, if we wanted to focus on that, wanted to focus on talking about such things, then we should do that. I think actually the fact that Biden has opened up some of the emergency reserves, I think Trump did that as well, quite frankly. But I think it has been used regularly, and I think those reserves are actually there for the very purpose of mitigating short-term market impacts. But the reserves get reinstated quite rapidly. When they are no longer being depleted. So, you know, I'm perfectly willing to engage in conversations like that with CJ because I think he's right. Some things get blamed on administrations when they shouldn't be. On the other hand, I think some things get laid to the feet of administrations when they should be. And I think that the reaction, the Trump administration to COVID is something that can definitely be laid at its feet as a mistake. And I think most of the people within the Trump administration look back and would agree with that.
You know, Sandy, as you stated, even without going back into, you know, as a Democrat, Republican, or any of those things, where we are now and the shortages that we are going to be facing because as everything that I read, Sandy, and everything that I hear, this is the most... That's the word I'm looking for. It spreads faster. It spreads faster than any other. It certainly has least. It's less lethal if you've been vaccinated than any of the others, but it spreads faster than any of the others, which means it's going to be all over the place. As it gets colder and colder, it's certainly not going away. But it's, as you stated, what is there to be gained by arguing about whether or not Democrat or Republican. I mean, that's at the root of all of these things we're dealing with. The Democrats, the Republicans, you know, enough of that. People, we know that the people are going to be suffering and are going to continue to suffer, and things aren't going to change overnight. But we've got to do a better job, Sandy, of all of this finger pointing, right? I mean, what is that?
Well, I mean, you know, I think I'm sure that the next thing CJ will want to talk about is inflation and to lay the current level of inflation at the feet of the Biden administration. I think all of the objective analysis of the current inflation situation indicates that the root cause of inflation has been shortages that have not been caused by conduct of an administration. I think we have a break coming.
Yeah. So Tom from L.A., Tom from Cedarburg, hang on. We've got to go to a break. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.